Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hope everybody's doing well today. So great to see everybody again and be back here for another week. Super excited to be here. And I hope you are as well. If you have any time today, I really want you to make sure that you're sharing and paying attention to today's topic, because it's one of those topics that don't get a lot of notice. So many times, you know, life happens in different ways for different people, and it seems like only one of them get the attention. And so I really want to delve into some things today that will help shed some light on things that don't often get talked about. But for me, doing pretty good. Still on the healthy body transformation. Today is day 31. Selling myself short. Today's day 31 of the healthy body transformation, and I am just excited that I've been able to stick with it and stay with it. It's been a struggle sometimes, but it's also been rewarding when you fight through the struggle to make it work. And so that's the part that I stay focused on. Also, it's very mental. To do things like this, it takes more of your mental ability than your physical ability. And the reason being is because you get so used to a certain routine. Your mind is telling you different things about how to be and how to act and what you're used to. And a lot of times, it doesn't really matter because you got to fight through it. Fighting through it is just like anything else. We have to push. We have to keep going. And it makes for an interesting time when we can get through it. And so if there's anything that you are going through in your life and in your journey, it becomes mental. And it's something that we really have to work through. It's really something we have to get through. Because whether it be your body challenging you, whether it be weight challenging you, whether it be stress of life challenging you, relationships and situations and difficulties, whatever those things are that are challenging you, you can fight it or you can embrace it and figure out the best way to deal with it. But it's going to take a system. And it's going to take consistency. It's not just one thing you do and then another thing you do and then you hope it works out this day. It's really got to be something that you take the time to be able to do and really, really put together a game plan around it. And so one of the big things that I have been also doing along with this challenge is 7 days ago, I started the 30-day liver detox. And so the reason why I know it's 7 days ago is because today being day seven, you're not allowed to eat. Those are fasting days. You do take some nutrition. You drink some nutrition, which you'll probably see me drinking periodically throughout the night because that's really all you have for 2 days. And You know, if you get extremely hungry and you feel like you need to eat something, they do allow you to have like 6 almonds every so often, or a green apple every so often. But it's really to continue the body through the detoxification process and giving it a chance to rest. And so it's been an amazing ride so far. And actually starting the challenge or the transformation process before getting into the detox really helped, because I've already been in a workout routine. I've already been in a eating routine, which really my eating habits haven't changed. I've gotten to the point where I've eaten really, really well over a period of years. And so that's kind of what I'm used to. So veggies and stuff for me, sweet potatoes, things like that are really easy. And I can just have sweet potatoes and mushrooms and green beans and be all right, you know. And I'm not going to keep naming a bunch of foods because I'm just going to make myself hungry. And also, you know, you got my best friend doing it with me. And that's been good because we can support each other. We can work through it together and we can make it work. And so, you know, and then we have also, it's about 3 or 4 of us that are really working together doing this detox. And so it's cool because you have a support system and you can bounce things off of each other and you can really harness what's going on and you know, get through it. But this day 7 and day 8 tend to be a little bit tougher just because you're not eating and your mind is telling you, hey, you know, where's the food today or what are we going to have today? And, you know, up until from the first day we started, you know, the third day you can eat. So you have lunch every day. You have a shake in the morning and a shake for dinner, but you have lunch every day. So around that time, your body starts looking for, okay, what are we having? And today it's like, we're just going to keep pushing. We're not going to pay that any mind. But it's been pretty good and not really been hungry, been traveling. So that kind of helps. But now, you know, settling in back into the normal routine, you know, we only got till tomorrow and today is almost over. So, you know, it's a good thing to be able to do. It's a good thing to be able to challenge yourself mentally. And when we can, you know, we talk about detoxifying the body, but detoxifying the body is also as much as detoxifying the mind, because that's one of the things that's a byproduct of what happens in our bodies is how our minds react to certain things. One of the topics that I really wanted to discuss today is the difference between being underweight and being overweight. So often we hear how many people want to lose weight. People, you know, they're going to the gym, they're getting trainers, you see people going out walking, you see boot camps, you see all of these different things set up for people who are wanting to lose weight. And, you know, even from some of the shows that they show you on TV, you know, they're weight loss shows or people getting into tip-top shape, becoming muscular, changing their physique and all of these different things. Even down to the surgeries, gastric bypass and lap bands and liposuction and all of these things that you see. And it's been a culture of people who they've made a culture of people who want to lose weight. But there is not really a space around people who need to or want to gain weight. There is no show for that. And as I'm thinking about it now, I'm like, man, maybe I should create a show for that, because you'd be surprised how many people can't gain weight. They want to do everything they can to gain weight. And I think that it's probably, if I'm going to stretch a little bit and say that it's driven by, and I'm not talking about the people who need to gain weight, but I'm talking about the whole thought process around that when you look at it from a United States aspect, when you look at it from a government or country aspect or a health aspect, they label people who are underweight and want to gain weight as having a mental disorder or a eating disorder. And if you, you know, even if you look up the word underweight, they'll throw out words like bulimia or anorexia, which you would think would be the opposite of obesity and morbidly obese. But when they talk about obesity and being overweight and being morbidly obese, they use the BMI index chart, the body mass index chart, and it's the amount of fat ratio compared to your body. It's the body fat ratio, excuse me, compared to a muscle ratio. And so they'll say, you know, you have 6% body fat or 10% body fat or 25% body fat. And based on where you fall in that range is whether or not you're going to be called normal or overweight or obese or morbidly obese. And so the chart starts just about at normal. There is not really a there, and it is, but if you knew about it or if you looked it up, but when you just look at it as being underweight, that chart would almost have to go negative, because then people are have a negative body fat. And so that's not really talked about. And when you look up words like bulimia, excuse me, and anorexia, those terms are described as people who have depression disorders or, you know, some type of mental disorder, whether it be depression or anxiety. They talk about how people will overeat and then become depressed because they overate just to make themselves and turn around and throw up everything that they just ate. Because then, because they ate, they look at themselves as being fat. And, you know, all of that is kind of crazy to me. You know, we coddle the overweight, you know, in a sense of trying to make it such that we can dress it up a certain kind of way. But when people become underweight or are underweight, then it has to be described as an illness, where they just describe obesity as eating too much. And that's really not true. But being underweight or being anorexic or bulimic is always tied to some type of disorder or some type of, you know, disease, so to speak. They talked about, you know, when you we used to hear about the models back in the day, especially the Caucasian models, and how thin they were and how thin they get. And that was the face for a long time. That was the face of what healthy looked like. And so, so many people, that started this trend of needing to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to get down to this size. I need to be this size. And granted, you can follow the body mass index, but when you look at how the body mass index was created, it was created based on Caucasians, because it was created by the and so therefore you have Caucasians that in general, and I'm saying based on your geographic location, where you grew up, where you live, and actually what country you're from, that's a different scale than if you looked at an Indian culture or an African culture or even a Latino culture, because it's based on diet. And it's also based on the access to nutrition. And so basically, you know, they went and they've adjusted it many times. And what they're trying to say is that everybody should be around the same, for your height, you should be around the same weight. And if you're this particular height, then you should have this particular weight. And, you know, to use that as a scale is fine, but to use it as law, it's not really helpful, because people are stretching to get to places that they can't get, and they're making themselves sick to get there. And people go through extreme measures and extreme conditions to put themselves in a particular place that may make them unhealthy, whether it be gaining weight or losing weight. because I seen something not too long ago, sometime this year, last year, earlier this year, late last year, of a woman who ate so she could gain weight. Her goal was to become a 400 to 500 pound woman. And her boyfriend or what have you supported her in that goal. And so therefore she just ate all hours of the day, and anything he could make that was fattening, she would eat, and they were happy. Now, is that a mental disorder? Or is that going to be classified as some type of stress disorder? Not really. But then you have, you know, the shows of My 600-Pound Life and that type of thing, and you have those people who have gotten to that place and what they eat and how they survive throughout the day, and they want to, with everything in their being, lose weight. And so that's become the norm. And then when you look at the U.S., and this is why I'm saying this, 40% of Americans are obese in the United States. And so that simply means that if the United States is a melting pot of people, we're all here from different countries, we're not native here, I'll put it that way. And so regardless of how we got here, we are indoctrinated into a system that controls our food supply for the most part. Very few people grow their own food independently. Of course, you have farmers and farmers markets and things like that, but very few people grow their own food like back in the day for their own consumption. So therefore, we're at the mercy of what we can get at the grocery store. And because there are 7 billion people on the planet, and in some countries people are starving, but with 7 billion people on the planet, that's a lot of people to feed. And you cannot grow food that fast in a normal setting to feed that many people. So therefore, food must be genetically modified and cloned. Also, the climate, global warming, or whatever you may call it, because some people don't believe that that's a real fact, but crops are not growing if just left alone in their normal state, because we just get into spring. Maybe we're going to go right into summer. You know, in February and in March, late March, April, you have days where it's 80 degrees, and then the next couple of days you get snow. It's not normal, and it's happening all around the country. So therefore, because you can't grow crops in that particular type of atmosphere or environment, then therefore your food supply has to be changed because you just can't do it. And when doing that, the foods that they are giving us a lot of times aren't healthy for us. So that's why America in and of itself has made, I feel, the people here obese. Because if you're the number one country in obesity and everybody else went back to their own native country, you sure wouldn't be number one. So therefore, what people are doing in their individual native countries must be better than what's going on here if this country is number one. I'm just using logic and math. But I do understand that we can control that. We can take certain things into our own hands. And people will say, well, I don't have enough space to plant a garden, or eating healthy is expensive. And that's one of the things that really, really gets me when people say that. Because some of the same people that make that statement are some of the same people that have things within their home or will purchase things that they cannot afford, but they won't take it another step and do it for their health. And they'll say, man, that's expensive. Okay, isn't your body expensive? But if somebody was to degrade us, call us names based on our diet, based on our eating habits, based on the fact that we don't feel that we're important enough to invest in our own bodies, then we get upset. Well, I can't believe such and such called me that. Oh, I can't believe such and such did that or said that. Still, if it's a phone or some particular shoe or whatever it might be, whatever it is, people will spend every dime they have. They go out on Black Friday and spend every dime they have, and not much of it is spent on investing in their health, because eating healthy or being healthy is too expensive. And really, when you look at it, if somebody would devote or set aside or invest, just say $7 to $10 every day into their health, that's a wonderful health regimen. You can take that really far. That's $300 a month. $7 to $10, just say $10 high end. That's $300 a month that you would invest in your health. That means getting the proper nutrition that you need. That means getting the proper food that you need to eat right. And it's amazing how many people spend that, because I used to be guilty of it, eating out. You out all day, you're driving around, you don't pack nothing, or you might feel like you can't. You don't know where you're going to be able to warm up anything that you bring. So we stop somewhere and we eat out. We spend $10. Even if you go to Chipotle, which is good, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, you spend $8, $9, $10, you get a drink, you get a bowl, you know, and people do that every single day. I am always so amazed with all the people that are in that Chick-fil-A line. Chick-fil-A is wrapped around the building all the time, and I have to say that there got to be people that are in that line 2-3 times a week, if not more. That's amazing to me. And all you either, very rarely, you know, there's grilled chicken, but for the most part, everything in Chick-fil-A is fried chicken. Whether they put it on a bun, whether they give it to you in a nugget, whether they give it to you on a strip, whether they put it on a salad, and the French fries, and they stay wrapped around the building that are soaked in grease. And granted, I do have Chick-fil-A very rarely, sometimes. But it's things like that, when you look at the cost of those type of foods and you say, man, I could have made a meal from home and bought it for lunch. Or for me, I'll make a meal, especially in the summertime. I'll make a meal, put it in the refrigerator, and, you know, you refrigerate it overnight. Then when I go out during the day, I take it and I sit it on my dashboard while I'm driving around. I call it the micro dash. And that food will heat up just as hot, and by lunchtime, it's time to eat. And that food is hot. You know, and, you know, I tell people that and they laugh. But that's a surefire way to make sure that if I'm taking something with me, it's going to be hot and it's going to be ready to go when it's time to eat. You call me crazy, but ain't nothing happened to me yet. I've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years now. But when we get back to people who are underweight, and this is my whole point, is that we can have a conversation all day long about being overweight and being unhealthy. And being underweight is not really looked at, but it's all really the same thing. Being underweight and being overweight is the same exact thing. It's just how the body is affected by the particular nutrition that you need. So, you know, people who are overweight are nutritionally deficient. People who are underweight are nutritionally deficient. When you look at people who have celiac disease or Crohn's disease or diverticulitis, these are digestive disorders, or gluten intolerance, which is the kind of the root of all of that. You cannot absorb nutrition. So for some people, they eat food, good food, bad food, take some nutrition, but their body isn't absorbing it. So if you're not absorbing the nutrition, your body cannot grow and develop. And certain nutrients are needed for weight gain, just like certain nutrients are needed more for weight loss. And as groups of nutrients, It's not just a vitamin here or a mineral there. It's groups. It's like baking a cake. You don't bake a cake with four or five ingredients. I mean, with one or two ingredients. You have about four or five, six ingredients that you need to bake a cake. It's the same thing with our health. And so because certain people can't absorb the nutrition that they need to allow them to have a good weight, and then being underweight, they can't gain weight. Just like there are the people who, and they don't eat that much. But then you also have people who are big or overweight. They may not eat a lot, but they do eat often. And the food that they're eating, because of the cravings that they have, because of the nutrients that they're not getting, are also doing the same exact thing, except they are gaining weight. Why? Because you have what's called, in some cases, hyperactive thyroid, which slows down your metabolism, which causes you to gain weight. Thyroid is regulated by copper, iodine, and selenium. So for the same one person who has an overactive thyroid or hyperthyroid condition, meaning that they're deficient in the nutrients that the thyroid needs to help maintain metabolism, those same nutrients that a person who has a low active thyroid are not getting as well. So their metabolism is through the roof. So every single thing they eat, if they're not absorbing any nutrition, it gets burned off, but they're not any healthier. And so we tend to look at skinny people as being healthy. But if you took the chance to talk to women who are skinny or men who are skinny, you'll find that they have lots of problems. They have just as many problems as people who are overweight. You should see how many people who are underweight or skinny that have high blood pressure. You should see how many people who are underweight or skinny have thyroid issues. Because it's the same set of nutrients, it just depends on how it affects one person to the other. And for one person, them not getting those nutrients can make them hyper, and for another person, it can make them hypo or low active in their thyroid. So their metabolism is fast, but they still have the same level of constipation that someone may have that's overweight. So it's really, when you get down to it, it's really all the same thing. And then the other part to it is the mental. You know, like I said, you hear more about anorexia and bulimia being a mental disorder, meaning you're depressed, meaning you are, you know, you suffer from anxiety. And in those particular cases, that's true. But so do people who are overweight. And people who are overweight tend to eat for comfort. They call it comfort food. Those particular cravings that you have when you're feeling bad and you're feeling low, and you say, you know what, I'm going to go out and eat this particular thing, or I'm going to have me this particular cake or pie or hamburger, whatever it is, French fries, whatever it is. And you say, you know what, that's my comfort food. That's what's going to make me feel good. Well, the same thing happens with people who are underweight, except they may choose not to eat. Or they may choose to eat, but to throw it all up because they're affected mentally. And when we talk about mental disorders or depression and anxiety and bipolarism and all of those things, ADD, ADHD, when we talk about those types of disorders, we're talking about a blood sugar imbalance. And when we talk about a blood sugar imbalance, you know, type 2 diabetes is considered a blood sugar imbalance. Mostly people who are overweight have a higher cause for diabetes. Mostly people who are underweight seem to have a higher cause for mental disorders, just based on the numbers. But when you're only looking at the numbers a certain way and you're not looking at it as here's the standard, and the standard is we're not getting enough nutrition. one way or the other. And it's not, or we're not absorbing the right amount of nutrition for our body weight. And when you talk about the blood sugar imbalance, that brings on the anxiety, the depression, and all of those things. And so one thing you'll find, especially in what we do in our program, is that we make sure that you're getting all the nutrients that you need, whether you just feel like you're deficient in vitamin B12, whether you feel like you need more vitamin C, whether you feel like you're D3 deficient, vitamin D deficient, whether you feel like you're calcium deficient. We don't have a chance to figure all of that out. We don't take the chance to figure all that out. We just give you everything that your body needs, and your body will figure out where, what goes where and what needs to be filled up. And when you do it based on body weight, then your body's assured that it's going to get what it needs. Now, here's the caveat to that. If people don't take the time to find out if you're gluten intolerant, if you have a digestive disorder, then simply just taking nutrition without understanding that first, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because now you're wasting money. You're taking something that you're not absorbing, and you're just urinating it out. It's just passing through the system and not being bought into the cells and bought into the ligaments and tendons and all of those particular things where it needs to be bought so that it can. So in that particular realm, you have to look at it from that aspect. And when you look at it from that aspect first, that same person who can't gain 20 pounds will do the exact same thing as that same person who wants to lose 20 pounds. They would go on a gluten-free diet. They would cut out sodas and a lot of the bad foods so we're not hindering their digestion. They would take a digestive enzyme so that way whatever they did eat would can get broken down enough to be able to pass through the system, pass through the small intestines, allow the small intestines to suck down the nutrients, and then whatever is waste be waste. And then that eliminates the constipation or the diarrhea that they may have. So it's the same process. And when everybody gets the same nutrients based on their body weight, then the body will start to respond. And you put them on that gluten-free diet. And most of the time, we do it through, the best way to do it is through the liver detox. And even in speaking about the liver detox, and I always try to make a point to say that, you know, people can lose between 10 and 25 pounds in a month on the liver detox. But there are also people that don't have weight to lose, and they will not lose a pound. But they may sleep better. They may get off of their digestive medication, meaning like Prilosec or Nexium, if you're taking any kind of digestive drug. They may come off their high blood pressure medication. They may see some weight gain. Because what we do in that detox is for people who don't have weight to lose, they're doing the exact same thing, but they're taking more of a high, they're actually doing more calories in their diet than somebody who wants to lose weight. But the biggest thing is getting them off of the bad things and getting them off of the things that are stopping them from absorbing the nutrition. And so when you do the detox, you're pretty much automatically on a gluten-free diet. You're almost automatically on a dairy-free diet, except for what you do with your detox. I'm sorry, what you do with your meal replacement shake. But we recommend almond milk, which is not considered dairy. I've been doing cream, heavy cream in mine because I wanted the extra saturated fat. Because saturated fat, good fat, is good for you when you're losing weight, to lose weight and to get your weight down. But it's also good for you to gain weight because your body needs saturated fat. And the great thing about saturated fat is your body will use it how it sees fit. Our bodies are very, very smart. And if you don't think so, just think of the fact that however old you are, your heart has been beating every single day, every day. It may have skipped one beat, but it's not stopped. And you still here, that means it restarted again, whether it had been the medical system, whether it had been the creator, whether it had been God, whoever restarted it meant that your heart was still supposed to work some more. And if you got a new heart, God bless you, because that means somebody else somewhere don't have one, which something else may have taken them away from here. But your heart beats every day. Your mind works every day. You go to the bathroom pretty much, or the urge to go, every day. You urinate. Your body will figure out what it needs to do. And what you put in it, it'll figure out where it needs to go, as long as it's something that it can recognize. It can't recognize the bad foods and the bad drinks, but it can recognize nutrition. It can recognize the things that's going to feed it and help it grow. And so whether you're 45 pounds overweight, 100 pounds overweight, or if you're 20 pounds underweight, the body needs the same group of nutrition, the same group of nutrients. And then what will start happening is you add more saturated fat and good fat to that diet. We do it also through EFAs, your essential fatty acids. That's what EFA stands for. And those are the proper ratios of your omega-3s, 6s, and 9s. When you don't get the proper ratio of your omega-3s, 6s, and 9s, your body does not function properly. And when you're deficient in your omegas, you have skin issues. You have fried food cravings. You have hormonal issues. Because the amount of omega-3s, 6s, and 9s you have in your body are almost a direct correlation of the cholesterol levels you have in your body, because they fight and work together, not fight, but they work together. And so good fat is needed. And if you ever find that, like sometimes if you're hungry, and if you're taking a good essential fatty acid, like the one we have that has the proper ratios of omega-3, 6s, and 9s all in one capsule, it's not like you're taking a fish oil. And that's just official. That might be your omega-3, or you're just taking an omega-6, or you're just taking an omega-9. We have them where they have the proper ratios in each capsule. So you take those capsules based on body weight, but you're going to get the proper ratios of those omegas. And you'll find that if you're hungry or you feel like you're starting to get hungry, you could take 3 or 4 EFAs, and your body will absorb them and say, I'm good for now. Because your body sometimes is just looking for fat, or just looking for that healthy oil. But if we don't pay that any mind, or we allow the craving to take hold, then we graduate to the things that we can get to that are greasy and that are oily, such as your fried foods. So it's imperative that then that people who need to gain weight aren't any different from people who need to lose weight. And in this society, there are so many people who need to gain weight. Now, I'm not going to say there's as many people needing to lose weight that are needing to gain weight, but I guarantee you, if you put that ratio together, it's much closer than you would think. And in that aspect of it, we have to stop shaming or looking at people who are underweight as if they just have some condition, because the fact that they make themselves throw up, or because of the fact that they don't eat, that's the same thing that causes a healthy or an overweight person to eat. It's just the way that the nutrition that's missing affects that particular person. Same thing with, and I'm not going to go too far off tangent, but I'm making a point. The same thing with MS, somebody who has MS, multiple sclerosis, somebody who has Lou Gehrig's disease, somebody who has Parkinson's disease, they're all pretty much the same diseases. The root cause is just where the lesions are on the brain. So if somebody has lesions in one place on the brain, they may get MS. If somebody has lesions somewhere else on the brain, they may get ALS. If somebody has lesions somewhere else on the brain, they may get Parkinson's. Their diets are the same. The root cause is the same. And the remedy for it is the same. That's, you need a lot of essential fatty acids. You need to take out all the bad oils. You need to stop eating things like deli meats and things with nitrates and nitrites in them. You got to get things nitrate and nitrite free. I mean, there's a whole list of things, and that's a whole series, a whole show on just that. But we look at things, we have to look at things in the sense of as above, so below, or as the opposite, and stop looking at them as not being related. And if the medical system could understand that part from a level of, from an aspect of nutrition, if they took the time to learn it, or if they were taught it, this world would be such a healthier place. Because really all it takes, the body is one thing. And it takes a system for the body to work. But you have to understand that because everybody is different. Things are going to happen differently in the body. But the body is made up of all the same cells, all the same nutrients, all the same bones, all the same teeth. That skeleton is the same. So if you focus on feeding the skeleton and the tissue and all the things that encompass what a body is, you'll understand that it's all the same. You just have to do it based on the size or the mass of the body. And that's what causes things to change. And so there are people who come into the program wanting to gain weight. And they gain weight. And it's not by, you know, eating mashed potato sandwiches every day and doing all of these things that are unhealthy to gain weight. Same as it is people who come to lose weight. They're not losing weight by taking diet pills and starving themselves and doing it in an unnatural way. We just start with the liver because that's where all your blood is absorbed or filtered, I'm sorry. And when you can filter out all that blood that has all those toxins and all the things in it from the stress of life and from the foods that we eat and all of those things, when you can get the liver clean, then what you do put in the body that goes into the bloodstream can be properly filtered. And then from there, everything else can be set up. So you start there because that's going to clear everything out. That's going to get you back to ground zero. We start building with the nutrition. And when you build with nutrition and the right foods, the body will gain weight. The body will lose weight. The body knows exactly where it needs to be. And so when I talk about that BMI index scale, yes, that's a good chart, but it shouldn't be law because the body will put itself where it needs to be. And if you ever have your body, which that's what I'm doing right now, in tip-top shape, in the sense that it's where it needs to be from a mental standpoint, a physical standpoint, and a spiritual standpoint, you will find that the body will sit itself right where it needs to be. Your weight will be right where it needs to be. Your sleeping pattern will be right where it needs to be. Your level of mental clarity will be right where it needs to be. Not saying that problems won't arise and life doesn't happen, but how we deal with those things are much different. And so it's amazing when you get your body in that balance. And it takes work because for so long, we don't do it. And then when you start doing it, you find it's really easy to do. And that's one of the things that, as humans, we tend not to do. It's like we take the path of least resistance, but the path of least resistance is not always the best path. We won't do what's easy. We won't do what's hard. Things that are mundane, like eating the same foods, you know, doing the same workout routine, your body gets used to doing them. Your body gets used to eating the food. But you're like, oh, no, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I feel like I need to treat myself today, and it's only been 3 days. And then you treat yourself today, and then you go another day, and then you got to treat yourself the next day. And or, you know, man, I've been working out good, a strong week. I don't think I'm going to work out the next couple of days just because I want to reward myself. And your body just got into a rhythm of where it's easy. Your body will wrap itself around anything you're trying to do, whether it's bad or whether it's good. It's like a drug. You get addicted to drugs. Your body wants it every single day. You get addicted to working out. Your body wants it every single day. I had that conversation a couple of days ago. And I was like, man, I said, you know, being out of town, you know, I said, I was been up, flying all day. And I was like, man, my body like, yo, we need to go work out. So that was the night I went and got in the pool. Because I, like, now my body is looking at me like, why are we not working out? So that level of quote-unquote addiction can be good. It also can be bad, depending on what the vice is. But if you're in a state of getting your body healthy, whether you're trying to gain weight or lose weight, your body will figure it out as you go along. You just have to take the steps. You have to be consistent with the steps. And then the body will say, okay, I can take it from here. I'm going to give you a reminder every day. You're going to feel a certain way when you eat something that you're not supposed to eat. I'm going to make sure of that. Or you're going to feel a certain way when you get to the end of your night, and you still haven't worked out, or you still haven't posted, or you still haven't written whatever it was you were supposed to write down, and you still haven't read what you were supposed to read. Your body going to feel some kind of way. Your mind going to feel some kind of way until you do it. And if you don't do it, your mind be like, okay, fine. And then you get to the next day and it's going to ask you again, like, are we going to do this today? And then you go to the third day, are we going to do this today? And the more days you ignore it, your mind and body going to be like, okay, well, just forget it. I guess we're not doing this no more. We're going back to our old way. So there is a level of discipline. There is a level of stick-to-itiveness, which is one of my favorite 50 Cent words. I mean, that's a powerful word. Just to be able to stick to it every single day, just to be able to do what you got to do every single day. And it's not always easy. But if it's going to better you, if it's going to put you in a place where you feel compelled to better yourself all the way around, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with that type of sacrifice. And the other amazing part about it is the people that will see you and want to come with you, or the people that you'll just inspire by saying, you know what, I'm changing, and I'm showing you that I'm changing. You going on this journey with me. I said 66 days of this transformation, and so I have 36 more days left. And at the end of those 66 days, it'll be a habit, because whatever you do for 66 days becomes a habit. That's the reason why I chose 66. And so once you create that habit, it's hard to turn back from it. But you got to get through those 66 days, and you got to take them one day at a time. That's the only way they come. And what you did yesterday don't count for today. And so one of the things that I'm going to have to deal with is, like I say, figuring out being on day 7 and day 8 and not eating of this detox is the fact that you don't want to work out because you're not eating, and you're not, your level of nutrition, the level of nutrition that we get is to really just sustain you through those days and give you the nutrition you need through those days because you're not eating. So if you go work out, you break a sweat, you exert your body, then your body has no fuel to burn, and then you will naturally get hungry. And you can take more nutrition, but you're only supposed to have a certain amount of day because you want to keep your body in detoxification mode. You want your body to rest. You want your body to purge toxins and continue to purge toxins and get into a state where it's always purging toxins. So when doing that, you have to be careful of how much you exert yourself. Most people that you see that work out all the time, they eat substantial meals, sometimes 6 meals a day, because they need the fuel. So in these 2 days, today and tomorrow, you know, that's going to be a challenge for me. But I bet you by day 9, which is Thursday, I'm going to be ready to go running. I'm going to be ready to do something to work out, because then I would have been able to have breakfast and lunch as a meal, and then my meal replacement shake for dinner. So that being said, nothing that we do when we take the time to look at the body is any different, meaning that to gain weight and to lose weight, is all the same thing. It's just the same nutrients that are affect the body, that are affecting the body different ways. Some people can't lose belly fat. But if they go on a detox, a liver detox, they can lose belly fat. Because you have some skinny people that have bellies. Add that little pus, they just can't get rid of. Some people attribute it to children. Some people attribute it to different things. I've seen some women, it could be fibroids, have so many fibroids in one particular area that it looks like you're pregnant. Crohn's disease makes you your belly look distended. So there's several different things that can make you look and have an appearance as if you have a problem. You drink beer. Skinny people drink beer and have a beer gut. But these are all outside influences. So also to get the body to where it needs to be, you still have to take the same nutrients. You still have to take the same precautions. You still have to do the same thing, whether it is you're obese, you're morbidly obese, or you need to gain weight. So that weight management, and that's why we deal more with weight management than weight loss. It's not too much that we have for specific weight loss. We call it weight management because you want to manage the weight that your body should be, and your body figures that out on its own. So I'm hoping that, you know, in this time frame, I was just able to shed a little bit of light and bring some value to you in the sense of how we look at things and the perspective and the perception that we have and what that looks like in reality. And a lot of times, you know, we tend to go with the status quo or what we see, and you see somebody that's really skinny and you'll say, they must be really sick. Or we say they have some disease or they have some mental disorder. But then when it's somebody who's obese, man, they need to stop eating. Or they need to get out and exercise. It seems that we have a remedy a remedy for the people who are overweight. But for the people who are underweight, it's like, oh, they just a lost cause. Oh, they must be sick. Oh, they must have some disease. Oh, because we very rarely say, oh, they just need to eat. Now, we'll say it jokingly, but, you know, they need to eat. They just need to eat. But very rarely do we say that as a culture, as a society. And so, we just need to look at applying the same thought process to that. But a lot of times nobody tells us what the difference is or that the fact there is no difference in a sense. It's just how the same nutrients that are missing from one part, from one person, can cause them to be overweight, and those exact same nutrients from another person that's missing can cause them to be underweight. So, you know, there's everything in life, there's two sides to it. And you say overweight is one side, you say underweight is the other side, but what is the common ground? What is the commonality? What is the I can't even think of the word I was trying to think of. But what's the middle ground in that? What's the lowest common denominator? That's what I was trying to think of. If we look at it from that factor and we work our way out, then you have a better look at it as opposed to just a label. So I wanted to, you know, touch on that topic because, you know, there's a lot of things that we see and that we just accept without the understanding of what it might be that's around it. So being overweight and being underweight is not one being the other, but they're both the same, and we treat it the same, and we do the same thing to the body, and the body will react based on that individual. That's why we have fingerprints. Every single person is their own person. Every single person is different. But the main thing is the main thing. The least common denominator is the fact that we all need the same amount of nutrients, because why? We all have the same skeleton. If you're 20 pounds underweight, you still have 206 bones. You still have the opportunity to have 32 teeth. You still may have five fingers and 10 toes. or 10 fingers and 10 toes, or 8 fingers and 8 toes. It doesn't matter. But that skeleton is there. The brain is there. The skull is there. The ribs are there. The kneecaps are there. The elbows are there. All of those things are there. It's just the flesh around it and how we deal with it. So when we the lowest common denominator is that skeleton, and then we work our way out from there. And 9 times out of 10, you'll find it's the same thing. So I hope that was helpful. I hope that brought value. If you heard something today that you felt like somebody else should hear, make sure you share this video. Make sure you share this call. If you need to speak to me personally about something, you can always give me a call at 919-599-0916, and I'll be more than glad to help you. If you are on a journey of weight gain and you need some help understanding what that might be for you, give me a call. And also, if you're on the same journey of weight loss and you need to figure out how to not just lose the weight, but keep it off, and not how just to gain the weight, but to keep it on. Because people say, oh, yeah, man, I gained 10 pounds, and I lost them same 10 pounds the next day. And some people say, yeah, man, I lost 40 pounds, and then I went back to my old habits and put the weight right back on. So there is a system to it. And not too many people have the keys to the system or understand that there is a system. That's why the state of the health of our country is the way that it is. One, because we put our faith in people who we feel like have the best interest for us. But two, because we're just so uneducated about the body and how it works for itself. The body is the biggest and best entrepreneur you'll ever meet. And so everybody has that in within themselves. You give it what it needs, it will fix itself. You give it the raw materials, it will build itself. So, you know, no different than a person building a business. They go out and they gather all of these thoughts and material and things, and they take all of this stuff and they put it together, and it creates a beautiful business. Same thing with your body. You gather this nutrient here, that nutrient there. You eat this particular food. You do this much walking. You do this much exercising. You do this much sleeping. You get this much rest. You read this much. You get stimulated this much. And your body will say, you know what? I appreciate you. And you will feel better. You will look better. And your quality of life will be better. But that's a daily struggle, because there are so many outside influences in the world that's causing us not to get there, not to be in that space. But it's up to us to fight through it, because we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our children. We owe it to our grandchildren. But at the end of the day, you owe it to yourself. Do it for yourself. If you don't want to do it for yourself, then do it for the people that are around you. But that's just kind of a cop-out. We have to do it for ourselves, because if we better ourselves, then you'll find the people around you are better. And it's not because they did anything right or wrong. It's because you became better. You became better at dealing with situations. You became better with your body. You became better with your health. So therefore, things don't affect you the same way as if you're already in a depressed state or in a stressed-out state. And that's one of the things that I have grown to have learned about myself, and really reading and overcoming things from childhood and overcoming things from past relationships and not taking them into new relationships and having this mindset and doing things that you may have done before that you don't even really know why you do it when you think about it. It's just the fact that we've come into so many bad habits and got so many things that have caused us to be out of balance. And so transformation is not just a weight thing. It's a mental thing. It's a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. So you want to balance all of those together, and it's best to work on them all together. Because once you get them to work together, then that's when you get into a place of what's called harmony. And you're not going to, and that harmony is not a place where you just live this great life and nothing ever affects you. Harmony is the fact that when things do affect you, you know how to keep fighting to get back to that balance. You know how to fight to get back to that space, because you know what it feels like. You know what it tastes like. And so I would just say for everybody, find your harmony. find what it is for you. If you don't know what it is, keep looking, because it's there. You've been given a purpose. Seek that out. And if you don't know where to start with the things you're passionate about. Even if you feel like you can't do those things anymore. If you wanted to be an NFL cheerleader, you can't be one because of your age, because of some circumstance. Just go YouTube NFL cheerleaders and watch them and stop. And don't watch them in a sense of jealousy, but watch them in a sense of, man, this is something that I could have been or something I could have done. Or this is the life that I wanted to have. And embrace it from that aspect. Go coach cheerleading, little girls. Do something in that fashion, in that passion. So with that being said, we'll be back here next week. We're going to have another action-packed call. And I hope that you invite your friends, invite your family. Also hope that you just hit me up and say, hey, I have a particular topic that you want, that you may want me to talk about. I love researching and I love understanding and learning. And so if it's something that you want me to look into, something you want to talk about, something you want to have a discussion around, if you're having a family reunion coming up and you want to have a discussion around something, just hit me up. Just whatever it is. And just share. You never know what might be said today that will affect millions of people tomorrow. So just share, if nothing else. Not for me, but for somebody who you might be able to save in your circle, somebody who you may be able to have a little bit longer in your circle. So with that being said, we'll be back here again next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great week again, another great topic. I hope everybody is rested, the week is productive. I hope that you start to take a look at your harmony and your balance and find out how to get there. And if you're there, God bless you. Text me and tell me, call me or inbox me and tell me how you did it and what you're doing so that I might pick up some nuggets and learn from you. So I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. We'll talk next week. Good night.